Good morning. This is the Thursday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790, the number you call to engage us. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862. That's 266-IVOB. And you can send a message there. You can also send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. And that brass tacks is one word, BRASSTACKS, all low, no caps. And that's how you can reach us. John Stout is taking care of things technical. And Dennis Johnson, your host, we go until 2 this afternoon. It is Thursday. It is election day in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, where Comrade Ralphie, as he likes to be called, Comrade, he said he's the last of the Mohicans, the last of the radical prime ministers going for a fifth term in office. And who knows, we may have the results to those elections before the one being held in the United States. But yeah, that's the vagaries of elections. We'll see what happens with the Comrade. I am not so sure that five terms, you know. Yeah. I don't vote in St. Vincent, so we will see what happens there. He wants five terms, he may get it. I, however, have some serious concerns about the country that I live in. Page 2 of today's Nation newspaper says, halt West Coast works, experts want proper engineering done first. And according to the Barbados Association of Professional Engineers, there's an absence of engineers on the project. Really? We have a major project involving concrete sideworks, drainage, culverts, manholes, paving and milling and repaving of roads, moving of utilities, hooking up residents and businesses, and we don't have engineering studies and an engineer on the project. This is real. I know there's a school of thought that professional engineers cost money, but not having them costs more in the long run. And it's not that we don't have evidence of this, because if you look at the front page of the newspaper and you go to the middle page that talks about keeping grease from the sewage system, that is engineering failure at some level or another. And the sewage flowing on the South Coast and the mess, and I'm using mess on purpose, that ensued from that project that caused international embarrassment, caused a party, one of the reasons I believe, to lose all their seats in Parliament. And we continue to have, and the minister must feel like now they're picking on him, but a minister who says that meeting with businesses in the area, some have complied, but some have not. And we have to address that. And then says, I want to encourage businesses in the area to pay greater attention to their grease traps and avoid blockages and odors. And the technical advisors saying that people build storm drains into the sewage system, which is an offense. I ain't hear anybody arrested and charged and fined or confined for it. And that some of the manholes are sealed. If we have people breaking the law, what's the use of talking about moral suasion and we need to change and perhaps we should ask them, please? That's where you have engineers who say this can't be done, put it in the legislation, change it, and say you comply or else. What is the use of us having all this expertise, setting up all these agencies, hiring the best people, putting them in there, and then muzzling them, tying their hands? Governors of the central bank who say, well, you know, we have to use moral suasion. We have to ask, please, you know, we can't. What do you mean we can't? Let me digress for a little bit. We have an Office of Public Counsel. We go to Parliament. We estimate how much it would cost. We put it in the budget. We have an ombudsman. If I ask anybody to tell me what either of those two offices have done in the past 5 years, I can't tell you, and I know you can't tell me. And I'm not saying they're not doing anything. I'm saying I don't know, and you don't know. And we should not. We should know. Because we pay them to deal with issues when they arise. the last issue, because it also concerns engineering advice or advice in general. The back page of the newspaper. New home for the elderly. The geriatric hospital is to be relocated to Waterford. Now, I thought the Botanic Gardens was set up to be the last green space in Barbados with greenery and, you know, open air for the family to picnic on weekends and, you know, your children run around and fly kites and enjoy the greenery. We were supposed to plant millions of trees. You know, plant a concrete building too now? Okay. So perhaps greenery and calm would help people in their old age to relax and be good. All right. But we had Party Monarch there with noise and speakers and cars. So Party Monarch going back to Bushy Park? It no longer could be next to the geriatric hospital in this area of green. And when my beard, let me ask Procol Harum to give me a space here, so turned a whiter shade of gray, was when I read that the geriatric hospital was being moved from where it is because it is an area that is given to flooding. And we putting it in Waterford? Really? During the passage of Thomas, I drove my Suzuki T878 that I write the testimonial to Suzuki and Simpson Motors about through Waterford. It had water coming out my bazoo. So we're going major drainage in there so that Waterford will now flood. Because I drive through Beckles Road already. And Beckles Road don't have half the flooding the Waterford does have. You see, I have a problem. And my problem is that far too often in this region that I live in, because it's not Barbados alone, prime ministers surround themselves with people who don't like to tell them what they feel the prime minister don't want to hear. So they suddenly get very quiet because they want to lose their pick. I ain't got no pick to lose. I just got my sanity that I lose in daily because we not listening to the dull and the ignorant like me. Because I ain't got no engineering degree. But I was listening to Trevor Brown and Grenville II and others of that ilk who at least trained and are professionals. So I listen to them and I go, perhaps what you're saying makes sense. And if it don't make sense, I'll ask them to help me. PM, take it from me, right? I ain't saying this because I A or B or C or D as a F, way down in the end, fail, okay? But you need to listen to some of us who may say what you don't like to hear. Just listen, you know, with an open mind and say, I hear you. And then tell me why it makes sense to you when it don't make sense to me, and perhaps I will understand. I sat yesterday and listened to my good colleague and friend and someone that I signaled was going to do great things long before everybody else knew about him, perhaps. I heard him and my good friend Sandy talking about 11 plus and children who can't read and write and failures at CXC and so on. And I pick up my newspaper today and on page 9 I read, he said the situation had been the same for the last 5 months and the leaks were located in front of an elderly home. What's an elderly home? An old house or a house that got old people in it? And we can't figure out why your children ain't passing the 11 plus and can't answer CXC questions? This is down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Am I on?
You are.
All right, Dennis, I can't pick you up on any of your topics because it will take another two brass tacks.
Nobody has taken me up on anything I say, sir. Trust me on that one. I accustomed to that.
You can see clearly there's a systemic failure on many, many fronts. But what I really call to complain about today, is to appeal to two government agencies, the Ministry of Transport and Works and the Barbados Water Authority. I would have thought after all the rain that fell last week, over the last, for like almost 6 days, that I would have seen multiple crews across Barbados patching these potholes, right? I just think it's unfair to the driving public to be driving a vehicle. You have to spend so much money on parts and insurance and all these things for your vehicle to be dropping down with these potholes and destroying and damaging your vehicle. And when you call MTW, they're going to tell you, well, you got to speak to legal, one. And then they don't do invoices, so they do receipts. So you have to now find money to repair your vehicle, which means that's at your expense. And then it has to go through a whole process for them to refund you when you bring the receipt.
Really,
you got it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that is unreasonable. And secondly, the Barbados Water Authority, how can you dig up the road, cut tracks across the road, put back in marl fill, and just leave it there like a hump or a big gaping hole? I mean, if the Ministry of Transport doesn't know where, I thought that they would really work together. If Water Authority digs up the road to lip, it could be for a broken man, whatever, things would happen. But I thought that that is an entity that told them work either closely together or one is responsible for the other, that they will send in whatever information needs to be sent, and MTW have an idea of where to go and pass the road.
Mm.
Now, you have a situation. If you leave from Bay Street, just outside the boatyard, and drive the entire stretch of the South Coast, and then you get to Oysters and go up to Amber Hill, you can see some massive gaping holes.
Yep.
So I'm just asking, you know, is it possible that we can get a little barbarine to fill in? Don't put Marfil, it's not going to work. Get a little barbarine to put in these potholes, because it's unreasonable and unfair to people to be investing in vehicles, whether it be a commercial or a personal vehicle, and then to have it destroyed. Sometimes your vehicle has to put down because the parts that are needed are not readily
well,
available.
Yeah.
You know,
agent. Certain garages don't seem to stock parts anymore. They send for it when they need it. Apparently, that seems to be what's happening. So let me say to you, I understand your concerns and I share them because I'm a road user and I see them. And holes that were there yesterday, more appear tomorrow. Like they're having children. Two of them close together, and they decide to join either in or out of wedlock. There's just join in the middle.
Yeah.
Areas where the road surface is dropping hasn't yet become a pothole, but it dropped. So you know, you bounce up and down, and then also causes collisions, sir, because you see cars weaving in and out,
yes,
in and out all over the place,
yes,
and you don't understand why until you get out of it. The other thing that happens from time to time, and trust me, this happened to me on the South Coast, out by Bubba's, coming out of that side street,
mm-hmm,
somebody
sure
stopped to allow me to come out. And when I came out, it was right into a crater. I can't call it a hole. It was a crater.
No, it's not a hole.
So,
that's
right.
Not, definitely not
so
a hole.
I couldn't turn and hit the man who let me out because, you know, so I had to pull wide. And then there was not enough space to go wide enough to straddle the crater. So you understand what happens, right?
Oh,
so
exactly.
When things like that happen, when you don't know what's ahead of you, you get into that kind of trouble. So I, as I said, I feel your pain. I know what it is. So I know, I am almost certain that the response will be the ministry is working on it. They have to look at their things and they have to lay out and put crews to work, and they can rain again next weekend and you have to schedule the work. So, you know, you can get reasons why it can't be done the way you and I see it. But there must be a comprehensive plan of how you're going to fix the pothole situation pending a complete redo, one. Two, I agree with you. The hot mix that they put into the holes, not holding. So there needs to be some look at that, because you can't keep mixing the hot mix and just throwing it into a hole and hoping that the traffic will smoothen the area for you. That has proven not to be the best way to do it. And I do not understand, as I started off by saying, that you say you didn't want to touch anything, but you've touched on one of them. Why we employ highly trained, skilled, technical people, and then we seem not to utilize their skills? Because I can't see anybody who is highly skilled and trained in the area of road maintenance making that decision. I can't see it. I just cannot believe that if you and I don't know if you trained in it, I'm not trained in it. If you and I could see it not working, I cannot see why someone who is paid at a level to be a highly technical person to give advice and direction would say, man, make some hot mix and throw it in the hole and drive off now, man. It don't make sense. It don't make sense at all, sir.
One of the other things that I would like, I heard the minister made mention of it, that he's going to do it on the West Coast, but they just paved Government Hill from just below Elawa Court. Mm-hmm. They're going as far as the globe, as far as they understand. The manholes, the grills,
not at the same level.
And the hydrants, please, can you have it at the same level of the road? Because that's just as bad as dropping into a pothole. I don't understand where the thought process comes from to do a road like that. That don't make sense. And when you're on the South Coast, back on the South Coast again, you have to be constantly dodging, weaving. Because when you drop into one of those things, you can get suspension damage. You can damage the tire.
Have you gone down the West Coast recently?
I try to avoid it.
Okay, well, let me tell you something, avoid it. Okay. The area between the Black Rock roundabout, the roundabout by the Esso service station, and just go as far as the supermarket. Don't go beyond there. Because of the pending work on the West Coast, they have marked some red circles around the manholes and dug across and dug across to the sidewalk. And they're falling apart. They are craters as well because of rain and other things. So the cars going down there are again what I called intexticated. You know when people texting and driving, there's wobble all over the road? Right. Well, it's same thing like when you're intoxicated. Well, when you're intexticated, you just do the same thing. And the car is doing that. They're driving in an S. In, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. Like they're warming up their tires to go on Formula One with my boy
Lewis.
Who can beat them anyhow? So I ain't know why they're doing it. But, you know, it looks like they're warming up their tires. So it is a minefield for anybody on
the
road.
That's what I call it.
It is. And like you, I can't see it making sense to me neither, sir. Something wrong with it. Something wrong. Real, real wrong.
Dennis? Thanks for your time. Have a nice
thanks
day.
As well. Thanks
and
as
enjoy,
well.
And enjoy the rest of your day.
I will try my best, sir. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hi. Morning,
hi, man. This is Glenn Murray.
Yes, sir.
I want to say that I share many of the things you said earlier, which I would come to. My approach there was to deal with some of those things, not directly, but related things. But before I do so, I want to wish you happy independence. All the listening, happy independence. You know, I declare myself interested in this time of the year because I had a large role in producing and providing and conceptualizing and implementing the community independence celebration, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. It's good to see something that I had a hand in last this long. And while the COVID has diminished the opportunity to celebrate it in a fulsome way, I'm glad to see certain things that are still happening, particularly the community level, where it all began, especially the lighting. And you know what lights do to people's moods and attitudes and whatnot. So, in that regard, and also independence, I want to say that it's a special time here for me, not only for the celebration, especially for conkeys. I admit I'm a conkey person, right? I used to eat. My main mother
was like, without the sugar.
Sugar?
Sugarless conkeys.
It's possible. You could put in other flavors, but I used to eat when I could and should and would have eaten, had more to eat. I should have eaten more. I would eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Vegetables, meat of all kinds, etc. But there's also a special treat for ear conkeys and conkeys. I don't think a lot of people know. Warm ear conkey and eat it with some vanilla ice cream. The contrast and the flavors are simply wonderful. Warm conky and cold vanilla ice cream is fantastic. So there you are. You have something to treat yourself to this time of the year. But
thanks to my mother-in-law who still makes them. I hope she remembers to say this. I beg you.
Yeah, good for you. I also want to say that One thing I like to watch international news for, and it's going to lead me into Barbados and Barbadian and our culture and exile this time of year, is if they had international visits from presidents or prime ministers of the various countries, you get to see the furnishings, the man-made culture of these countries, the furnishings, the artistic drawings, the chairs, the chandeliers, and you appreciate the architecture of the village. That gave me, I enjoy saying that because it gives you an insight into what has happened in other countries and how they've managed consciously to prepare, to preserve their man-made culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, culture symbols are important, heritage is important, etc. So I say that, because when I say that, it, therefore, it brings me to the fact that, do you know that number 10 down the street, the seat of power, has been in existence since 1684?
Mm-hmm.
The Élysée Paris
Champs-Élysées. Uh-huh.
It is 1772, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the White House has been existing as the seat of power of government since the 1800s. Okay. I put that kind of historical and international context to get to the point is that I share your concerns about. I heard the Prime Minister speak about a new geriatric hospital. She said that geriatric hospital was in danger of floods and hurricanes. I thought most of Barbados was, especially on the coastal areas. And a lot of it, more the Queen's Hospital could be considered that too. But I noticed why that she did not say that it was being changed because of, as had been said earlier some months ago, that it was being done because of structural damage. It was a sick building. No reference at all to that. And I'm sure that the Prime Minister is a complete enough speaker to have mentioned if that, those were mitigating or dominating factors in that regard. But I also want to say that that I am concerned that at the time when we're talking about heritage, and we have a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and which has never really been fully exploited or exposed or developed, as far as I'm concerned. You can't even buy a T-shirt that says Barbados, UNESCO, as far as I know, UNESCO World Heritage Site. That I am hearing that you could, and next door to the, a building next door to Geriatric Hospital. The Geriatric Hospital was built in the 19th century, 18-something. I know, but it's not been said it's structurally unsound. They have cracks. The ceiling is falling. The foundation is sinking. Nothing done. Right, okay. Government headquarters, they understand. I had the misfortune, despite of hearing it being said by a government official, no, a minister, no less, that they were, they envisage government headquarters being replaced by, turned into a conference center. Now, government headquarters, which has been existing only since 1956, is more than a building. It used to be called the ministerial building before government headquarters. We call that one thing that housed all the ministries in Barbados. It came into being in 1956. I saw it being built on my way to Commonwealth, turned from Commonwealth, 55 to 58, right? And what that's the first building. Now we had ministerial government in 1954. Previous to that, the legislative council and the colonial council used to meet in the parliament buildings downtown. Colonial, that was the seat of colonial power and authority, political party symbol. You see the Gothic architecture, again colonial architecture manifested there visually. Government headquarters was represented when we had our first set of ministers, five ministers. So that what you were saying was that here in the country, asserting its uniqueness, its difference, it break from the colonial past, it's break from the public buildings, to a creation of our own. It came out of the Barbadian vernacular architecture. The building downtown, So I hear it was designed by built by my Captain Tomlin. So here you are, and that helped, like I said, it helps all the ministries. And because at the time, Barbados has never been a grant in the aid colony. In other words, Britain never had to send money to Barbados to pay its way, to run its government. Barbados always did that up until we went to the IMF, et cetera. I had to go to the IMF. Out of its own resources, its own taxation, its own policies or whatnot. So here they built this building of its own, and somebody's going, it's not the first time I heard that. People used to offer you to say we better have a hotel or apartment so that people could. So I mean, we must not have none of all that came out of the Barbadian imagination and determination and resources. The Barbadian pride in said that we're not going to have it. We're no longer colonial power. We have adult suffrage in 1951. We have ministerial government in 1951. We are on the road now to being our own people.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to turn it into a conference? But there's no shortage of space for conference, President Marvin. No, they know.
Glenn, let me say it to you. I know your passion for it, and I share some of the sentiments expressed for saving or buildings that of historic or historic importance and heritage. I can think of the in Trinidad and Tobago, the Magnificent Seven, the office of the Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago, Whitehall, around the Savannah, was actually built by a Barbadian. So Barbados has some input into the heritage of Trinidad buildings of historic importance. Learned that from my research into the area. So I understand that. The challenge for me is this. In an effort to build new things and change the topography and the use of areas and create new areas, the question is how much you destroy and how much you retain. I will go to one of the places that I have perhaps the same romantic attachment that you have to government headquarters, Paradise Beach Hotel. There was an area at the top there with the old sugar bonds and the sugar stack representing old Barbados, where under former Prime Minister Errol Barrow, there was a lovely architectural drawing incorporating the old barns, the old bonds, and the sugar stack into a wonderful conference center that was supposed to serve the South Coast and simultaneously some of the small properties on the West Coast. Never materialized, they tore it down, and it's now just an empty space. So when you look at how planning is done and why it's done, the important thing is, as I said in my opening, is to engage everybody, the people who have romantic attachments, the people who have new visions, the people who perhaps just want to criticize for criticizing sake, and people who ask because they would like to be persuaded that the decision you take is the right one. And I find there is that lack of engagement that leads to the kind of conversation that we're having. Because if you do not have regular engagement where people can say why they feel the way they feel, and you have the opportunity to convince them to change their minds or to get them to see with you. Glenn, my problem is, and I can state it again emphatically for those who don't like to hear me say it, this is directed to you. There are too many of you who feel, well, the word I will use on there is limpet mind, and you could look up what it means, because I don't want to use the other term, right? You're so stuck to following political bosses that whenever someone says something, your first reaction is, you have a check, you know how big it is, you know how wide it is, you know where they plan to put it, you know what they want to do. That's why I ask him, because I don't know. So I don't care whether the Botanic Gardens is 50,000 acres. I don't care if it's 100 acres. I don't care if you're putting it up on the road by the ABC Highway, or you're putting it across where the horses are so you could look into Common Mare. I don't care. The question I am asking is, if you said it was supposed to be an open green space, how does a building made of concrete fit into the green space? If you're maintaining a heritage site, how does, as Glenn asked, changing government headquarters, Peter said ugly, Glenn say, you know, he got a romantic attachment to the ugliness, the structure. Sir, engage, Glenn, engage, talk, share, listen. That's all I keep saying. That's all. Thanks for your contribution. The WhatsApp message says there must be some concern that despite the possibility that Donald Trump may lose the office of the presidency, the tremendous damage has already been done. Politicians don't take their career roles from professors or from political scientists. They don't take guidance from journalists or the general public. They gain their devious ideas from what they see other politicians getting away with. And for this reason, the whole world electorate has to be very concerned at the volume of corrupt behavior Trump has demonstrated in full view of all other world leaders. You know what? History is also replete with those who don't listen to advice and failed one way or another, either self-destruct or someone led or helped them destroy themselves. We don't learn from history that we don't learn.